Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right, let's continue our study by reading from the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll read from verse 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It said, "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, sends this message to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, and eat the food you produce. Marry and have children." My emphasis again is in verse 7. "And work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Pray to the Lord for that city where you are held captive. For if Babylon has peace or prosperity now, so will you." Now, of course, where we very often quote is verse 11, in which he was warning them that they should not be in a hurry to leave and, all right, believe false prophets who are telling them that they will be in Babylon for a short while. He said, "The truth is that you will be in Babylon for 70 years, that's verse 10, but I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again." He said, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That is, you will stay in Babylon. You will pray for the peace of Babylon. The point I'm making is that the reason you will prosper in Babylon is that you seek the peace and prosperity of Babylon, and you are walking towards it. You are praying for it. And that, he said, is the key. We have been speaking on creating the opportunities for prosperity for quite a while now, and we are not done with dealing with that yet, because we need to understand God's divine order. Please don't forget, among the things we have said in previous times, that God has thoughts. There is a way he thinks. And a godly man is known by thinking like God. If you use the word prosperity, he thinks with the same ideas as God has concerning that prosperity. If you talk about the means for prosperity, he's thinking like God. And last week, we began to explain further again that the principle behind prosperity is give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. That is, when you output something into the lives of people, then God said, "I will cause men to return back to your bosom." That is the same measure with which you bless them that they will give back to you. That the principle of wealth and increase is that I am blessing people with the skill that I have. We read from the book of Romans chapter 12. Paul was writing to the Romans. He said that each one has a gift according to the grace given. He said, "Let each person exercise his gift accordingly." That is, there is something that you are supposed to bless people with. And God did not just come as an afterthought to bring that one out. But before he created you, he said that thing exists. And based upon the society's need, based upon life's need for you, you were created. Therefore, he equipped you ahead of time. He said, "I will give thanks because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." What's the meaning of the word fearfully and wonderfully? The way a lot of people think is that it means I'm so beautiful. Now, beauty does not have an absolute definition. Beauty is only defined in the context of purpose and the context of usefulness. Are you getting the point there? That is, what makes you beautiful and fearfully made and wonderful is that you were created for a particular purpose and you are perfectly suited for that purpose. Are you getting my point? That is why to each person, his wife is the finest woman. Because she's, and if you married a good wife, as far as you are concerned, she's the finest person. Because what you see outwardly is what is actually inside. And over time, you have come to equate the person's features with what is inside the heart. What Satan tries to do, I'm digressing now, is to try and create wrong pictures of for us. You watch a movie and you see a woman do a good role in a movie. So you unconsciously associate her features with beauty because of the role she played in the movie. If she was your wife in real life and she was a Jezebel and a wicked witch, you will have discovered that those features are the features of ugliness and the features of wickedness, and you wouldn't love them. Now, I'm explaining the principle here, that what makes you fine is that you are perfectly suited for your purpose. What David was saying is that there is an exact reason why you were born, and there is a skill that God put inside you so as to bring out prosperity for other people. I ended last time by emphasizing the fact that you're seeking the peace of Babylon.
using your skill, using your prayers, all right? Those are the things that will return plenty back to you. That the foundation for prosperity, again, we said, is spiritual. It is what is beyond what the eyes can see that brings forth results that the eyes can see. Do you follow my point? So the man who is seeking the prosperity and the peace of his nation, then the man is igniting spiritual forces that's going to convert his business to a lucky business and convert him to a lucky man. Now, these are spiritual matters, all right? You can't argue them. You can't control them beyond the fact that you do what is right and God allows them to work in your favor. Take our nation today as an example. I walked a man out of my office the other day because he was trying to persuade me that there is no how that Nigeria can have uninterrupted power. Of course, such people already have their maps, their plans, their strategies for exiting down to Europe and exiting down to America. I said, no, it doesn't make sense. Now, what I'm saying is that in my heart, I know it will happen. I said, this was exactly the same thing they told us then, that Nigerians could not afford phones. Now, we are spending billions of naira on a daily basis, literally, on a daily basis, funding our cell phones. Of course, they said we couldn't afford it. Now we are affording it. Are you getting my point? But then a man who will truly prosper in the country, he doesn't just work thinking that things will not work. Do you follow my point? He says, how can I make them work? If they said right now, under the structure that we have, for every house to have uninterrupted power, they will have to pay much more than they earn. He will think and say, no, doesn't make sense. That God gives us the sun free of charge. We don't have to pay for rain. If we are going to have electricity, there must be something that we can do that will make it affordable for everybody. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, so he begins to think, let's assume he's an engineer. He owns a power company, something that has to do with power. Or he knows about these things. He starts thinking. This is the way these things work. I'm giving this as a hypothetical situation. He continues to think, and this is the interesting part. Your thoughts, I said this quite a few weeks ago, that when your thoughts resonate with God's plans, you will discover great power will be made available. Another thing I should emphasize, again in that line, is that if you start thinking about what God wants to do, God will make his thoughts available to you as ideas that will work. Are you getting my point? Listen, it is a lie that Nigeria cannot have uninterrupted power supply. It is a lie. It is a lie that people that will have to pay too much. It is a lie. Okay? Now, but the point is that, so we start thinking, then God, what God does is he begins to introduce thoughts and ideas on how to also make it possible. I mean, think about Joseph as an example. Joseph went to interpret the dream for Pharaoh. And it was obvious, listen to this, that there will be calamity. Because 7 years of famine is really going to devastate a nation. Please bear in mind that some of the things we know now, they were not known then. So if you had asked a typical wise man on the street before Joseph, he would have said, let Pharaoh begin to relocate this nation towards the southern part of Africa, towards the tropical rainforest. There we'll find more water, more food. No, but Joseph said that will not be necessary. He said, I can give you a method by which we'll accumulate food over years, and we have so much food that we'll be able to survive for seven years before things return back to normal. And of course, he did it. Now, because Pharaoh had never seen that kind of thing, that was why Pharaoh appointed him, now get the point, as the ruler of the nation. Can we find a man as wise and as discreet as you are? Because I have discovered that in you dwells an unusual spirit. He said, in you dwells the spirit of the gods. That is, what is firing you is beyond that which is ordinary. I am telling you today again, when you begin to seek the prosperity of a land, you now go, God, because you see, you can't outthink God. You can't plan ahead of God. Before you start thinking about it, listen to me. As a Nigerian today, I know for sure that God already has an effective plan that will make power uninterrupted for us. The plan is ready. He's just waiting for somebody who will stop complaining and grumbling and looking for exit pathway. You're looking for somebody who will think without covetousness in his heart. Because the primary problem is that a lot of people who God could have released that to, they are thinking of, how can I be the one in charge? Do you get my point? How can I be the one controlling it? So they are trying to work it into the cost. They are trying to work making billions out of it into the cost. That is why it's still difficult. Do you understand my point? But if you have a Joseph who says, all I want is for this plan to work, you will find out that the Pharaoh, the ruler of the land, will say, if you have this kind of wisdom, then I put you in charge. And listen to me, I put you in charge. It's not so that you go there and be a billionaire, award all the contracts to your friends, and all of you become the next community of young billionaires in town. That's not what we're talking about. That we are talking about making sure it works so that an average person can have this thing in his house. Listen, if you think like that, God will give you the plan. You will give the plan to the rulers. And listen, there is nobody that does not want the country to prosper under him. All right? An average good leader wants the country to prosper during his reign. You give that plan to him, listen, he will effect it. After all, Nebuchadnezzar was not exactly a very righteous man. But he retained Daniel in his cabinet every time. The reason being that this guy was making things work despite his own personal wickedness. When Darius came in, when problems came, he reintroduced Daniel into the cabinet. You are getting the point I'm making? Because they want things to work. I'm bringing out the point here that it's creating the opportunity for prosperity. You seek the good of the land that you are dwelling in. You know, the other time I started talking about your skill, but I got, you know, digressed, I believe, by the Spirit of God into talking about seeking the good of the land. Listen, you know, I have said from Hebrews chapter 11, we read that by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that the things that we see do not come out of the things that are visible. That is, what makes you prosper in life is not your diligence that we can see. These are the pillars, I said, of prosperity. But they are built upon a foundation of something that is inside the heart that we can see. I'm explaining one of those crucial foundations, that seeking the good of the land from the depths of your heart, God will give you a plan by which that good will be doable. Do you follow my point? And then the ruler will say, since you have come up with this plan, please execute it for me. I am not even preaching it as a shortcut to your own billionaire entry. Do you get my point? No. I am preaching it as a way by which you will seek the good of the land. Please, I pray that God will allow your heart to see this. That it is possible to divorce your own personal gain from that of the land. But once you have consciously done that, then God says, when the land prospers, you will also prosper. And listen, if you are a godly man, it should be better for you that everybody, all right, prospers rather than you are the only rich man in the community of desperately poor people. You can't be blessed like that. It is not possible. Are you getting my point? Now, the real prosperity comes because we are seeking the good of the land. That is, when they put you in office today, say, okay, you be a local government chairman, it is not your opportunity to be a millionaire. Listen, a real man of God, I don't mean a preacher, I mean one who is doing the work of God. His plan will be that if I'm in this office for 2 years, let me be the local government that everybody is coming to visit. But you know what an average person wants to do? He said, this year, at least I must build my own house. It's my opportunity. I must drive a very good car. It's my opportunity. I must have investment in shares. So every month they bring their allocations. He's looking for how to skim his own out of it. He said, this is the year ESC is catching everybody. Let me do my own so that they can't catch me. Listen to me. Tomorrow it is FFCC that will start catching you. Who will find you in your new methods of craftiness? Are you getting the point I'm making? And I wish we would understand this. You will indeed truly prosper if you will just seek the good of the land. And you will discover that your prosperity is easier to enjoy when the whole land is prospering. This one that you are changing your shock absorber of your brand new car every 6 months is because the road is bad. Do you get my point? The one that you spend 50,000 naira every month buying diesel to power that your big house is because power failure, the public one, is not working. You're actually cheating yourself at the end of the day. There's a lot of peace of mind we lose for seeking only our own individual prosperity and not the prosperity of the whole community. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to us here. That is, it says, seek the good of the land. You might be a student. Seek the good of your class. You might be a lecturer. Seek the good of your students. You might be the head of a faculty or even a lecturer in a faculty. Seek the good of the faculty. You may be a vice chancellor. Seek the good of university. You are a school principal. Seek the good of the school. What people do is that they say, seek the good of my pocket. This is my opportunity to fill my pocket. So use all kinds of methods. And you see, the interesting part is this. That one which you are putting into your pocket is depriving multitudes. And interesting enough, is depriving them much more, listen, than you are taking from them. It's very funny. That is, if you bleed them of 50 naira, what they have lost is probably 500 naira because one goat bled them of 50 naira. Someone was telling me the other day of how a few regimes ago, Nigerian police wanted to start using fingerprinting for investigating crime. Things that have been done for decades, hundreds of years in other countries. Fingerprinting. If you tell an American that your policemen investigate without fingerprinting, they will think you are all joking. It's basic technology. So one day the Nigerian police, okay, let us start it. They put a man in charge. After they went to talk to the company told them how much it will cost. And the company did not give, listen, you know, the company wants to do work for your country. Did not give you money for coming to ask them how can the work be done. The man said, nonsense. He put it in his drawer and filed it there. And that was the end of that plan until that regime changed again. Human beings are wicked. Human beings are wicked. And I'm telling you, judgment will come on the house of the wicked man. I know what I'm saying. If you want to avoid judgment and prosper, start seeking the good of the land. Remember I said that I'm not talking about creating the opportunity for individual prosperity. I'm talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity generally. It's not only you that will prosper. One of the things I have learned long ago, God taught me this, I'm so grateful to him. That listen, Banky, you're not the only one I want to bless. So if I was not at home, business that was supposed to meet me as an example goes to another person's house. And they say, oh, you should have been at home. Opportunity comes but once. I said, it's a lie. The opportunity that came and did not meet me was not my opportunity. It has gone to the house of the person who God also wants to bless. I cannot be blessed alone in life. Are you getting my point? I'm one person, listen, that I have prayed that those who listen to me will be so blessed. In fact, that my own blessing is tied to their prospering. I have prayed and I walk so that those who hear me will be blessed. It's out of their prosperity that I will prosper. That no, that when I first met you, you were hopeless. Then I preached the word to you, then you prospered. Are you getting the point I'm making? Because I am seeking the good of the land. Now, as an example, if people come to me and say, please pray that I will get visa to go abroad, I ask, what do you want to go and do? If you can't persuade me, I say, listen, my friend, my anointing can't help you. Those who I can pray for, no, it's a matter of fact. Those I can pray for are those who will say, so I want to start business. It's not breaking forth yet. I say, in which area he tells me. I say, come, let us pray. We join hands and we pray. We want you to prosper because as you prosper, this land begins to prosper. Do you get my point? Listen, we are not a hopeless country. I don't believe that one. Any man who calls us hopeless, do you get my point? Hope will be taken away from him. The hopelessness will be his personal experience alone. The rest of us, we have hope and we will prosper. You are getting the point I'm making. We have hope and we will prosper. In fact, we have hope already. We are going forward. What we are just doing is learning the principles of God. We are learning the wisdom of God. We are taking hold of God's instruction and we are not letting it go. So that it can be said concerning us that the path of the just is like the light of dawn. We will take God's instructions and acquire righteousness by that. And our lights will keep on shining brighter and brighter. Woe to the man who enters office and who thinks it is his opportunity to become personally prosperous. Listen to the divine order. It is an error on your part. It is unrighteousness. And you are begging for God's judgment. You are literally begging for it. There was one mafia movie I watched long ago. A man woke up. He's a thug. He said to go and rob a particular joint, which belonged to a mafia boss. And the mafia boss's enforcer was speaking. He said, this guy is just begging to be made an example. Are you getting my point? And I'm telling you the same thing. That if you think that you will deprive the whole community of prosperity, that you might personally prosper, you are begging for God to make you an example. But who am I preaching to? I'm preaching to those who want God to make them an example of good. That when I sought for the prosperity of this land, in it, I also began to prosper. I know I've digressed a bit. From the 3 points I said I was going to make about using our skills, using our money, and using our diligence to seek prosperity. But I believe the Spirit of God just wanted me to explain this to people. That the reason why we have not gone forward so much is because people have thought that prosperity is individual prosperity. Even when I go to church, when I want to give a seed, you know, we go to church, it says, sow a seed for your car. I said, that does not make sense. It says, sow a seed for your own personal breakthrough. So give money for your personal car, your personal breakthrough. I said, I don't believe in them. Jesus said, anything you want in life, ask, and the Father will give it to you. He said, you have not because you ask not. Are you getting my point? But what do you call sowing a real seed? I'll tell you what a real seed is. Somebody forwarded something to my email box the other day about the child who had the whole church built by sending her own 50 cents. That's a seed. The church needed to be built. Are you getting me? So that the work of God can be done. And the young girl said, well, she saved money, a little money here and there, a little child, and thought her 50 cents could build a building and sent it to a pastor and said, this is for that particular work you talked about. I pray that God will use it. Something like that. I can't remember the detail of the story. But this is creating the opportunity for prosperity. When the pastor saw it, he probably first laughed. Then he took the offering serious. There's what I call the principle of the widow's mite. That Jesus said this woman has given more than other people. He was not just saying this woman has given more than others, but that is one as a matter of fact. But God can do more with the one she has given than what the other people are giving. Because money is not just about cash, it's about the spirit behind it. This little child sent her 50 cents. And then God leaked the story. Do you understand my point? As she leaked the story, other people began to hear it. And a rich man will hear and say, this little girl sent 50 cents, I'm sending $5,000. Another person will hear and say, eh? That little child sent 50 cents, I'm sending 10,000. Before they know what's happening, they have gathered all the money necessary. Listen to me, that is a correct seed for creating the opportunity for prosperity. 50 cents. He didn't give the girl, the little child, anything personally. But she understood, or the Spirit of God led her to sow a right seed. There's a material I worked on, titled to a book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. In it, I taught that, listen, the problem why you have not had great faith in life is because you have been seeking your own prosperity alone. And the grace of God is released according to faith. The amount of grace you will experience is determined by the amount of faith that's coming out of inside you. But how does great faith come? Two people that Jesus gave as examples of great faith in the Bible, that he used the word great faith concerning them, was the Syrophoenician woman and the Roman centurion. None of the people asked for anything for themselves. None. My daughter is sick, the first woman said. The second man said, my servant is sick. In both cases, they came to beg for healing for somebody else. Oh, God said through Jeremiah, he says, seek the prosperity of that land. Listen, as you are seeking the prosperity of that land, you yourself will have great faith and you will prosper. That's the point I'm making. And as you are seeking the personal prosperity so as to deprive the land of general prosperity, you yourself will have great doubt and unbelief and you'll be judged by God. That's just the way it works. Do you know it takes spiritual effort to download judgment? And there are people who go around every day downloading judgment for themselves. They want to die. Vintage examples are thieves. A man labors during the day and goes home to rest at night with the proceeds of his labor. You go out to go and collect what he has gathered by labor so as to defeat the purpose of God. God says, very good. I will judge you and that without remedy. That's why you will suddenly die. Do you understand my point? I say, it was an accident. God said, no, it wasn't an accident. I killed him for his wickedness, for trying to defraud those who labor diligently. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? We are talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. I'm trying into this teaching to let you understand that I never said creating the opportunity for personal prosperity. I said, but for prosperity. That includes everybody's. But he said, in his prosperity, that is the land, in its prosperity, you will also prosper. It's a matter of heart attitude. What am I seeking? Are you getting my point? As you are seeking, I said something previously, that God has thoughts, he has plans, he has ideas which he wants to bring down to the earth. And as you are seeking it, that is the prosperity of the land, God drops those ideas in you. Listen, God is fair, God is just. As far as God is concerned, the man who's a billionaire, the one that's a multi-millionaire, the one that's a millionaire, and the one that's a thousandaire, as long as their basic needs are met, they're all the same. What differentiates one from the other is that one has more influence than the other. It's like a servant that multiplied the master's money double, and one multiplied it 10 times. Do you get my point? But they are all servants in the house of the master. Are you getting what the point I'm going to make here? That God's emphasis is not how much food I eat. I say this all the time. How much food can you eat? How much? One of the things I still eat a lot as a person, though I can afford 50 times better, is there's no food. I pour garri into a cup, put water and put granite inside there and throw in sugar. It's a fantastic African delicacy. That's my opinion. I'm not eating your French cuisine for nothing. My wife laughs at me. I don't eat what I can't identify. No, I go for a buffet. You see food everywhere. I can't pronounce it. I can't identify it. It's not going into my mouth. No, make a typical Nigerian man a multimillionaire. He will still drive to Okigwe to go and get his suya. Do you understand my point? And he's not going to pay more than the other people. How much food can you eat? Are you going to wear two jackets at a time? So we're talking about prosperity. We're not talking about what one person can eat. We are talking about the influence it can have in the lives of other people. It is a satanic principle. For me, the all I'm praying about God, before Christmas, my Jeep must have arrived so that when I'm going home, listen to me, let me disappoint you. The Jeep is not going to arrive. as long as you are thinking like that. I know you don't like preachers who tell you the truth. You rather somebody tell you that just give this money and God will give you before November 31st. I am telling you that if your idea is selfish, faith cannot come into your heart and you are not going to get it. Better continue your current day labors. Because you can enter it eventually, maybe by diligence. But by supernatural breakthrough, by manifestation of grace, faith, it does not come to selfish people. Please let me go back to where we were before I digressed into this matter of seeking the good of the land. Remember, I said that there are three things that we will use to bring forth prosperity, all right, into the land. I said number one, which is why I digressed into this, there is a skill that God has given you. And number two, there is some money that God has given you. And number three, there is diligence to be used in each one of them. Please let me begin to talk about the matter of skill again, so as to connect to where we were the other time before I digress into this other issue. Now, so talking about the matter of skill, I explained that David said that because the nation will need something, because my neighbors will need something, because my society will need something, God has created me in a particular fashion. We read from Psalm 139 that said, God created from my inward part. The same thing he said concerning Jeremiah, the same thing Paul testified concerning himself. We also related to this to the life of David, that God knew that Israel would need a shepherd. And he raised David up because he had created him ahead of time to be a shepherd for Israel. And I said that each person has something that God has gifted him in. And it's as Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, that as we exercise it accordingly, we become skillful in our work. Remember what we said? We said, do you see a man who is skillful and diligent in his business? Solomon said he will stand before kings and he will not stand before obscure men. That is, your skill will attract attention to you, and your assignment, therefore, for creating the opportunity for prosperity. Number one is to identify your gift and exercise that gift, develop that gift until you become skillful in that gift. Are you getting my point? And eventually you will discover that it will take you from the place where you are right now to the place that's beyond that which you ever thought you wanted to be. One of the things we don't understand about God is that we think he will take you only to the place where you want to be. Actually, the place he has planned to take you to is beyond that which you want to be. Are you getting my point? Because most of our thinking, most of our thoughts are dictated by our environment. For example, if a man has suffered, he never had enough food to eat three times a day, or he never had enough food to even eat twice a day. He didn't have roof over his head. For a long time, all he's praying about is to have food, is to have raiment, is to have a shelter over his head. But God said, where I'm taking you to? In fact, when Isaiah was talking like this, God said that it is too small a thing for me to do that one which you're asking for. He said, I will make you a light. I will take you beyond what you have ever imagined. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. I'm explaining to you again that there is a place that God wants to take you to that is beyond that which you can imagine. But what he has gifted you with, what he has given you as a beginning for the exercise, all right, of that journey, or for the movement in that journey, is the gift, the skill, something inside you that you can do so well. He said, exercise it accordingly. It will become a skill, and that will draw attention to you. I hope what I'm saying is making sense here. All right. So what do? You identify your gifts, and that gives you an idea of what your calling is. He said, the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. That is, Paul was writing, he tied the gifts to the calling. What can I do well? You know, sometimes people tell me, there are no jobs. I say, there are jobs. They said, if you go to this country, there are jobs. I said, listen, there are jobs. Most of the jobs that my people do when they go to America, they are available in Nigeria. They just won't do it in Nigeria. Are you getting the point I'm making? But you have a skill. There is some, because remember what I said a job is? A job is not that which I deck up in the morning and show off. No. A job is that I use to bless people's lives. And I'm explaining today that the first thing that God has given you to bless the lives of people, all right? Notice the word, not to make money, but to do what? Bless the lives of people is the skill he has given you. I tell people, young preachers, you're on campus, you're a preacher. He said, nobody's giving me opportunity to preach. I said, meanwhile, your friends are doing birthday parties. Don't go there to go and dance. Remind them that it's a Christian party and they need somebody to preach, so they should give you 5 minutes. Are you getting my point? And please, you don't have to come in a tie and a suit with somebody carrying your Bible. No, that is a problem a lot of people have. Listen, you're a boy. Nobody wants to give you anything. You are begging for that opportunity. So simple. Your friends are then say, let me come and share the word of God with you. I tell you, as a matter of pride, the first place I preached publicly in my life was at the birthday party. And that time I had a hot revelation in my heart. First place I had the opportunity to explode was in a birthday party. Not on radio, not on television, not in a church. It was in a birthday party. I preached a number of birthday parties. I mean, you can become a celebrated birthday party preacher. 10 minutes, because it's party. Nobody came here to listen to Bible study. 10 minutes, preach the word of God and get off this place. Let them play music and eat food. I mean, if you're an artist, paint a portrait for your friend and decorate his house with it. There is a man who your father told him that this man was a blessing to me when I was young. Thank him on the behalf of your father by painting a portrait for him. Why are you going around making quotations?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.